If you are visiting with us today or can't remember and you've been here before but don't know this, then we usually study verse by verse through a book of the Bible. Does anybody remember what book we are studying right now? Hebrews, good. And we are in chapter 4. But today we're going to do something a little different and look at the whole Bible. And we'll have time to cover that. But because of what's on the calendar this week, we're going to do something a little different today, which will help us to appreciate and to understand what we are studying in Hebrews even greater. I want us to look this morning at the scapegoat. Have you ever been a scapegoat? Do you like being a scapegoat? What is a scapegoat? A goat that scapes. What is a scapegoat? And I'm old and I can't hear very well, so I have no idea what you're mumbling about. But I think you said someone that takes the blame. Correct? And we like someone to take the blame, don't we? We like someone else to be the fall guy. I don't know if you've noticed this, but that happens a lot in politics. Someone else takes the blame. And it's always someone lower taking the blame for someone up above. The higher doesn't take the blame. They blame it on someone else. Very rarely is it the higher taking the blame for the lower. We like to blame someone else, don't we, for our problems. Think of someone you blamed recently. They're probably sitting close to you. It's her fault. It's his fault. Maybe it's someone in this room. Maybe it's someone else. My circumstances. Well, I know this is what Scripture says, but I think, or you don't understand what I'm going through. It's not my fault. And we like to point the finger at someone else. Are we like Adam in the garden? Who did he point the finger at? Well, you say he pointed it at Eve, but really, what did he say? He said, God, it's that woman you gave me. It's your fault, God, and we're good at that, aren't we, as well? Blaming God. Well, God, you said... Now, we often think of Christ as the Lamb at Passover, and we should. But we don't very often think of Christ as being the scapegoat, do we? But to understand what the writer of Hebrews is really telling those first readers in the first century and to us, we need to look a little closer at what it meant to be a Jew and their special days, their feast special days. You know what Isaiah 1, chapter 1 of Isaiah, verse 18, God speaking, he says, though your sins be as what? Scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they will be like wool. Now, this week, if you have the right calendar, what is Wednesday? Yom Kippur. And what does that mean? Well, think like a Jew. How many of you are Hebrew scholars? How many have ever heard of Hebrew? How many have ever eaten a kosher hot dog? Okay. Yom Kippur, Yom is Hebrew for day, and Kippur means atonement. Well, what does atonement mean? That's not a word we use very often, is it? Atonement means to atone for something. Well, that's not fair to define a word with its with the word. So it means covering. It means to cancel, to cover something. The day that your sins are covered, the day that your sins are canceled out. Yom Kippur. Now, the Hebrew calendar changed because of the seasons, the moon, the tides, and all of that. So it changes. When is the 4th of July for us? That's a tough question. Ask someone around you if you can't figure that out. When is the 4th of July? It's on the 4th of July. Good. When is Yom Kippur? Well, it was always the 10th day of the 7th month. but it fluctuated. So for us, it's usually in September, October. And this year, 2018, Yom Kippur begins Tuesday at sunset and goes all the way through sunset on Wednesday. And to appreciate Christ a little more, I want us to look at that. And we'll look at it in three sections, Yom Kippur. We'll look at the ritual and the reason and the reality. Let's look at the ritual first. What happened on Yom Kippur? Any of you ever been to a Yom Kippur service? Oh, then you're going to learn something today. Have you ever heard of Yom Kippur? Any of you have any Jewish friends and say, what's Yom Kippur? Do they know? It's a holiday. Well, the ritual. It's a very rich ritual. You can read about it. We won't take the time today. In Leviticus 16, Leviticus 23, Numbers 29. It was a special day from, as I said, from sunset to sunset. Early in the morning on Yom Kippur, the ritual. The high priest took a bath. That's the first thing he did when he got up. And you say, aren't you glad preachers ought to take a bath? How many of you took a bath in the last month? Good. One person. He took a bath. The high priest took a bath. And he put on his holy garments. I thought about wearing a suit today, but I know what you would ask. You would ask, who died? Because the preachers today, we only wear a suit if it's a funeral. Maybe a wedding. But the high priest would take a bath, put on his holy garments, then take a young bull for the sin offering, for himself, because priests sin, and for the people, and a ram for a burnt offering. Then he would go into the holy of holy place. In the tabernacle, in the wilderness, later in the temple, which was built in Jerusalem, and he would take two goats. Let me hear you sound like a goat. That's a sick goat. It would take, how do goats sound? Is that a lamb or a goat? It would take two goats before the tent of meeting. In the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And then he would take a gold bowl. A gold bowl. And cast lots on which goat got to live. But how long would that goat get to live? He would cast lots for two goats in a gold bowl. One goat. So picture these stools as goats. They look kind of like goats, don't they? Just use your imagination. He would take two goats, cast lots in the gold bowl. One goat would be for God. And one goat would be for Azazel. Look at your notes. Now, what does Azazel mean? I don't know. I'm not Jewish. Well, if you were to look it up, you would find it. Azazel means removal. Removal. That goat, Azazel, was the goat of removal. Guess what's going to happen to the goat of removal? He's going to be removed. Symbolizing sin. The high priest, in and out of the holy. What was his name? Azazel, goat of removal, and threw him off the cliff. Poor goat. Then the goat leader would return to the last station he was at, and he would wave a flag back to the other station. Hey, goat's gone. Then that station would wave a flag to the next station, to the next station, to the next station, until 5 miles out, word got back to the city or to the camp. The goat has been removed. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, take off his clothes, take another bath, Redress in fresh clothes. Go back out to the court. Offer more offerings. The goat leader, as he got back into town, station to station to station. I don't know if he stopped for refreshments again. When he got back, he had to wash his clothes, make sure he was clean. The remains of the bull, the remains of the other goat that had been killed were taken outside the camp, outside the city. All the remains of the animals, all of their clothes were burned. And even the person that burned them had to wash his clothes and his body before he could come back in. Oh, the sights. Just imagine that. The sights, the smells, the blood, the washing, the death, the shofar, the horn blowing. Why? It's just nasty. Because sin is dirty. And when sin is removed, we celebrate. The goat is dead. Celebration, a holy day. Think of the smoke. Think of the blood. Think of the noise. Think of the bowing. That's the ritual. And what's the reason? The reason is because sin is dirty, isn't it? We like to blame someone else. It's not my fault. But let's just be honest for a moment. You're guilty. I'm guilty. How can I get clean? Will the ritual remove my sin? Will some symbol, a goat falling off a cliff, pushed off a cliff? Maybe if I take another bath. Maybe if I put on some different clothes. How can I get clean? I can't. Psalm 103, listen to these words. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives you your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He has made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not, listen to this one, He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear Him. For as far as the east is from the west, He has removed our transgression from us. Who is the real Azazel? Who has removed your sin? Or the prophet Micah chapter 7, who is a God like you, verse 18, who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Hey, the flag has been waved. Can I hear a amen? Your sins have been removed in Christ. Don't give me that church look. That's a reason to celebrate. Your sins have been removed. Okay, think of it this way. Touchdown! Your team wins! Your sins can be removed!
Amen. Amen.
Need someone to pay for my sin. To take my sins away. I need some grace. I need some mercy. And Yom Kippur was just a picture of that. Just a symbol. A symbol that the scapegoat is come here. Sort of like